Well, today I want to talk on a topic called your appointment with Jesus. That's my topic today. You have an appointment with Jesus. Last week I read a story about a Samaritan woman. It's in John chapter 4, and I'm going to just read a few verses. I'm not going to bore you with reading a lot of verses, although the Bible is not boring. John chapter 4, verse 4 says this: but Jesus needed to go through Samaria. The word needed means like he was notched. Something was telling him on the inside, you need to go through Samaria. Now, he could probably choose another route where he was and take, you know, closer route to Jerusalem, but he chose to go through Samaria. He did a little detour. So he came to the city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came out to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. He's engaging her. He's sitting by the well. He sent his disciples to go buy some food in that city of Sychar. And he's just sitting there. Now I'm wondering, Jesus, why didn't you leave some disciples with you there? Why did you send all 12 of them to go into the city to buy food? Couldn't 6 of them buy it? He knew what he was doing. He had a meeting. He had a divine appointment by God with a certain woman. He said, give me a drink. For his disciples has gone into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it you being a Jew ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Now notice she didn't say, how come you're asking me, Samaritan, to give a Jew? Because Samaritans didn't have a problem with the Jews. The Jews were discriminating against Samaritans. So she's surprised. She's like, you're going to talk to me now? You're a Jew. You even look differently. How are you asking me? What is your motives here? A man, woman? Let me read verse 9 again. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you being a Jew ask a drink of me, Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift God has for you and who it is that is speaking to you and saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. Interesting story of an encounter between a woman and Jesus. If you know anything about this story, you know later that this woman was not a reputable woman. She did not have a great reputation. If you read later, we discover that this woman has had 5 husbands. She's been married 5 times and she's been divorced 5 times. Some religious people might complain and say, what are you doing with that kind of woman? But God had an appointment for a woman who's been married 5 times, and now she's not even married, but she's living with a guy. You think we have it bad now? In Jesus' day, same thing was happening in Samaria. She was married 5 times, she was divorced 5 times, and she was living with a man who was not her husband. Interesting. What else can we know about this woman? One thing is that she had no problem finding a man. Some women have a problem finding one husband. This woman had no problem finding 6. What tells me, Bible doesn't say this, but I'm going to draw you a picture. What tells me that she was probably, she had something about her. She was either very beautiful, that she had no problem finding a man, like a supermodel, you know? Sometimes guys, when they see looks like that, they just don't think about brains anymore. And, you know, they're just like, her body is perfect. I'll marry her. How many times have you been married? Second thing it tells me about this woman is that she was probably at fault at those divorces. I mean, people make mistakes, or people marry wrong once. People marry wrong twice. Okay, three times. You made a bad choice. But she was probably like Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah. But five times, you know, you can blame man, you know, she was probably, you can blame man four times, but five times, okay, you can blame man more than four times, but five times means that there was something about her that attracted man and just as fast repelled them. They would marry her and they would divorce her just as fast. So they were probably going for her looks. And then they found out who she really was. And they would leave her. Imagine one divorce. Talking to people who've been divorced, they will tell you that, man, be careful who you marry. Watch closely who you marry, because divorce is hard. Divorce divides. Divides the children, divides the house, divides everything. She was divorced five times. And from what I perceive into this story, she was rejected five times. In that culture, being divorced once was already a big taboo. But being divorced five times, she had no friends. Let me tell you that. Priest warned their churchgoers about that woman. You know that woman? She was probably a parable in her city. She was probably talked about by mothers to their little daughters. You know that woman, the neighbor we have? She's been married five times. Don't be like her. She was rejected. You know, rejection is a very strong spirit. When people have been rejected, sometimes it allows evil to come in and harbor on the inside. So this woman was probably bitter. She was probably angry. She probably didn't trust men. And she was getting older by this time, because having five husbands, if she lived with each one for 5 years, she started at 17, that's 25 years. If she lived with each one for 2 years, on average, that's 10 years. She was about her middle-aged woman. She was losing her looks. And guess what? Man did not satisfy something in her. Why would you marry so many times? Because she was looking for something. Would you agree? She had a hunger on the inside. And every time she had that desire, thirst, she would go and try to find it in a man. And when she couldn't find it in a man, she would divorce him and say, well, maybe I can have a better man. Maybe this man is bad. Maybe that man is bad. Maybe this one is bad. But it was something different that she was looking for. And Jesus knew her. He knew her heart, Bible says. He told her everything about her. And he knew that she was thirsty. She was hungry for something bigger than a man. How many of you know we have three human needs? There's spiritual needs. There's emotional needs. And there's physical needs. How many of you know that God has given us different drives? He gives us drive for food so we would eat. If your food drive is broken, you either overeat or you don't eat at all. Right? There's emotional needs, social needs. We want to be with people. We want human contact. I heard of a study that they did. They took three types of babies. They divided babies into three groups. They did a study, medical study. And the same babies, and for one of them, for a certain amount of months, they did no touching. They didn't touch those babies. And for other group of babies, they gave them a lot of touch. And what they found out was the babies that were touched a lot, held a lot, loved a lot, kissed a lot, those babies grew healthier stronger, and faster. The babies that were not touched a lot was becoming weird. That is true. That's a true story. There's a reason why we come to church and believers gather every Sunday. There's a reason why we hug one another. It's a touch. There's something about touch. Amen. Everybody needs it. There's a reason why we kiss our kids. And our kids want a kiss from us. There's a reason for that. We want to be touched. Nobody wants to be alone. Nobody wants to be by themselves. Back to this woman. She had a hunger. And her hunger was not physical. It was not emotional, because she could get what it seems like any man she wants. Her hunger was spiritual. And Jesus asked her for water, and she says, how do you ask me for water? And he said, really, I'm not asking you for water. I want to give you water. Let me read this to you. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now there's a clue here. She is going to men to fulfill her spiritual need. And Jesus perceives that. She sees it through her, and he knows that that's not going to satisfy. You can marry five more men and you'll still be alone. He says, I want to give you a different water, a living water. If you drink this water, you will thirst no more. And she's still thinking physical water. She's like, give me this water so I don't have to come and get it from this well. And he says, I'm talking about something totally different. I want you to open to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 1. Awesome scripture. And it will tell us what is living water. Because you can be, you have a spiritual need inside of you. And you know what? You can be like a woman and try to fill it with everything else. You could try filling it with shopping. You have emptiness on the inside of you. And you could fill it with alcohol. You could fill it with man or women. And it'll never be satisfied. Imagine how much money she spent on weddings. Imagine how much stress it took to prepare a wedding. And those weddings were not one day like ours today. Sometimes there were 7-day weddings. Yeah, those are big weddings. And it didn't satisfy. And she was still empty. She came to the well about 12 o'clock. Women didn't go to well at 12 o'clock. They would go either in the morning or in the evening. They would do it together. She was alone, meaning she didn't have any friends. This was a broken woman. This was a woman that knew rejection. She was a bitter woman. She gave up on marriage. She's like, I'm done with this. Nothing I do works. And listen to what God says. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. So the living water that Jesus is talking about is free. The water that she was trying to get for herself was expensive. Drugs are expensive. Weed is very expensive. Marriages are even more expensive. You think that you're going to be happy just because you'll get married? I don't think so. If your inner self is not fulfilled, you're not going to be happy. Five men won't make you happy. Five women won't make you happy. And Jesus knew the need. He pinpoints. He goes straight to the heart. He says, I'm not talking about water, but I am talking about a different type of water that you're seeking. And you don't even know about it. So it says this, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. Wine is for mature people. Milk is for babies. So what he's saying is, it doesn't matter what your spiritual condition is. Where are you at in life? You can get it for free. Milk for babies, for newborn, spiritually newborn people, those who just got saved, and those who've been saved for a long time. He said it's free. Without money and without price, why should you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen to this. Jesus, God is saying to you the same thing he was telling to this Samaritan woman. Why are you spending money on weddings? Now, if you're just getting married, some of you are getting married, you need to spend money. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're marrying five times, you got some deeper issues. And he's ministering deep into her heart. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good. So, what is living water? And how do you get it? Listen to this. Verse 2, second part says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. So how do you eat? Let me read it again. Listen carefully to me, says God, and eat what is good. How do you eat what is good? By listening. Thank you. How do you eat the living water? How do you drink the living water? By listening. Say it. By listening carefully. See, some of you are like, I want this spiritual experience. Should I use some drugs to feel that? Or no, he says, listen carefully. Why do we come here? So we can listen carefully. Jesus didn't tell her that much, but it changed that woman's life. Why? Because he spoke deeper. He spoke to her heart. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear. What does that mean? Incline your ear. Have you ever sat in a restaurant and spoke with your wife, but you were really listening to that other conversation? Inclining your ear. That's what it means. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Faith comes how? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. You know something about word of God is living and powerful. So when Jesus was talking to her about water, that she will never thirst again, that is free, he was talking about her hearing the truth, hearing the word of God. And when that truth comes on the inside, it touched her spirit first, then it touched her emotions, and she was never the same. Incline your ear and come to me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and so and so. Listening is how you drink. The water, physical water, I don't have any right now. It would be good to have some, but never mind. You take through your mouth. But spiritual water, you take through your ears. That's it. How are you doing on that? Is Sunday only the day that you hear? Or do you read the Bible? Or do you listen to online podcasts? And there's so many good sermons out there. You shouldn't be just living on listening on Sunday and being fat and being take your drink on Sunday. You should do it pretty much every day of your life. Bible says this book shall never depart out of your mouth. You read it, and the best way is to read out loud. So you can hear it as well. There is power in hearing. How much time do I have? A few minutes. Point number two. God's gift for her was to meet Jesus. Let's look back at verse 10. John chapter 4. Verse 10 says this. Jesus answered and said to her, if you only knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink. The encounter was not a coincidence. It was not that it just happened. It was on purpose. God wants to give you a gift. You know what that gift is? To meet His Son Jesus. Some of you think, if I meet this Son Jesus, it will restrict my life. He will control my life. No, no, no. He will set you free. He will satisfy you with your deepest longings. Guys, how can I explain this to guys? Let me explain this to guys. It's like being a man and getting married and never being with your woman. You have that need, and you're, same thing spiritually, you have that need. And what that woman did and what we do a lot of times is we try to find something else to fulfill it. And we pay money for it, and it doesn't work. And anything apart from God that we try to fulfill the spirit, human spirit, is destructive to our body. Listen to me. Anything that you try to use to fulfill your spirit other than God will work as destruction to your life and to your body. You have a spiritual need, and you say, well, I could get drunk and feel good for a minute or two, or an hour or two. Guess what? It's not going to fulfill that need, because the God drive inside of you, every human has a God drive, even atheists. I read in Psychology Today magazine, atheists wrote this. He said, I find myself sometimes praying, and then I stop myself and say, why am I praying? There's nobody there. Even atheists, this is a true story, find themselves praying. You were created to pray. You were created to have a relationship with God. Every human being. And unless you satisfy that with God, anything else you try to satisfy it with will hurt you, will hurt your family, will destroy you. So why not realize that food is for the body. Relationships and love is for the soul. God is for my spirit. And I gotta fill my spirit with the living God. And if I fill myself with the living God, I will thirst no more. That humming that's in my spirit, that spirit of God living in my spirit, will become a well, Bible says. It will spring forth. What does it mean, spring forth? It will penetrate. It will come through from your spirit to your soul, to your body. Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. When your spirit is dead, how can you be alive? You live in, but you, and many people say, I don't believe in hell. I'm already in hell. That's not what God wants for you. He wants you to have life to the fullest here. That's why He came. And the woman was missing it. And many of us are missing it and God had a gift for her. Do you know that somebody inviting you today, here, or maybe a week ago or a month ago, was a gift of God to you? It wasn't coincidence. It's not just that you decided to come to church. No, God decided for you to meet His Son Jesus. And if you open your heart and if you be truthful. I had a friend who told me a story. I'm almost done. He said this. He said he was evangelizing to one of his friends. And he said, what if God appeared to you and told you I'm real? And this person said, I would tell him, don't waste my effing time. See, some people, even if you show them God, they're just so hard. They just don't want God. They want to be God. Every human being wants to take that throne of God in our spirit. He said, don't waste my time. If God appeared to you, it's not miracles. It's not God what you need. It's you need to hear the word of truth. And when He talks to you, open your heart and just allow Him to come in. Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. He says, behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. Today He's knocking and He's saying, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I will have a party in your spirit, in your heart. That's what he did for me. That's what he continually doing for me. Bible says, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Same effect. When the Spirit fills my spirit, guess what happens? Same effect. Why do people drink? Because if they don't drink, they can't be social. If they don't drink, they can't have any fun. But God says, if you are filled with the Spirit, it's the same effect as a drink. Except the Spirit gives you life. Drink, slowly hurting you. Now, can you drink? Yes, Jesus drank, and in moderation, nothing is bad in moderation. Amen? But when you are trying to fulfill the Spirit need with the drink, it's becoming an idol. And guess what God does? God fights against every idol. God says, I am God and there shall be no other. So if you try to do fulfill your spirit with anything other than the Word of God, listening or reading, you know, it's the same thing. It's not just listening, it's reading as well. For me, it works better if I read out loud. And I don't read fast. I just read slowly. Hallelujah. That woman gets so excited. She runs to the city, Bible says. And she tells everybody in that city. Imagine, she doesn't have any friends. She's rejected by everybody. So her word has no weight in it. Her reputation is not good. She doesn't care. One thing I know, that Jesus touched her so deeply in her spirit that she had so much energy that she went and told everybody in her city. She didn't just tell them. She said, come and see. That's advertising right there. When God touches you, you don't need to know a lot. Do you think she knew a lot? She just knew how she felt. She didn't know theology. She didn't know the Bible. She didn't know this Jesus. She just met him. 30-minute conversation is all they probably had. And she said, come, this man is a prophet. He told me everything about me. She was used to men trying to get something from her. And when a woman who is beautiful, she probably has a lot of looks, right? And so, just honest, being honest, right? She was probably disgusted by the man looking at her. It wasn't sexual, because if it was sexual, she would be ashamed and try to hide it. She would never tell people, come and see him. He touched her deep in her spirit. And when he touched her, she was so excited, she left her bucket and a rope, she ran to the city and told everybody to come. See, you don't need to know a lot of the Bible to advertise and tell people about Jesus. You just know somehow on the inside, even listening today, or last week or week before, you were listening and you knew. You didn't understand everything. You didn't even know what Bible says about a lot of things. But you knew that he touched your spirit. And faith was born. And when faith was born, you wanted to tell everybody. She went and advertised. Remember I said, don't evangelize? Because some of you can't evangelize. You don't know. Yeah, Tony, Lavar, Ruslan, and Dave, they should go evangelize. They should go preach and do those things. But you might not know that much. So you can go and advertise. That's what she did. She just said, come see. He told me everything. He ministered to her. By the time he was done, his disciples came and they brought food. He was thirsty, he was hungry, and listen to what they say to him, verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, teacher, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know of. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food, listen to this carefully, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Jesus feeds the woman, but what feeds Jesus? He satisfied her deepest need. It's not a man, it was a spiritual need. Who is going to satisfy him? Ministers, let me tell you this. What is ministry? It's serving people. Ministers, the same thing that applied to Jesus and what gave him food is what gives us food. Listen to what he says. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. You know that Jesus didn't call us to be just believers. He said, go and make disciples. Amen. What does that mean? Disciples is a servant. He doesn't want you just to be the believer. Some of you have been in church way too long and you're still a believer. You know what a believer is? I come and I always expect them to feed me. I always expect others to serve me. I come and it's all about me. Give me my spiritual food. If I don't get it here, I'll go get it somewhere else. Well, after a while, what will happen to you is that you will not be satisfied by somebody else's food. Some of you are done being satisfied like that woman at the well. You're too old of a Christian. You've been a Christian too long. And the only way you're going to be satisfied is serving others. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Some of you will leave this church. You've been a Christian for so long and you will not be fed. You know why? Because your food comes different way now. For somebody, food comes through their ears. For you and for Jesus, it came through what? Serving. Through serving. Listen to this again. My food is to do. Say do. Do something. Sometimes when I minister to you, I go out to eat, and we have this tradition. We go out to eat every time after we're done with service. I'm not hungry. Why? Because I was fed on a different level. I was satisfied so much, my body doesn't want to eat anymore. And I love my food. Trust me. Some of you don't know much, but you can serve in a kids' church. You can teach kids, and your food would be ministering to those kids. Some of you have been a Christian way too long. Get up. Do something. There's 20% of this church that's overworked. They're serving in kids ministry. They're serving in the computer area, media and sound and band and ushers. They're overworked. And others never do anything. And guess who complains the most? Sometimes those that don't do anything. Why? Because I agree with you. You should complain. Because you're not satisfied. But I'm telling you how you could be satisfied is by doing something. Sign up to any ministry. Serve in a kids' church. Serve in a youth. Greet somebody when they come in. Besides, everybody in New Life Church should be a servant. Yes, you maybe just believe, but let's start climbing that ladder. Because Jesus doesn't want you to just be a believer. Because demons believe. Bible says he wants you to be a disciple, a follower. A doer of the word, not just a listener. Listener is the first grade. It's kindergarten. First grade. Doing is maturity.